and welcome in to the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and a very fired up Ray Brewer who's ready to get right into it. UNLV coming off of a 45-20 home victory against Fresno State, 1-0 in league play, 2-3 overall. And the question on a lot of people's minds, I know it is the question on the tip of Ray Brewer's tongue because we were talking about it right before recording. What is that? What do you think we may have discovered here?
Well, last week I predicted that Dalton Snead would be so good that he'd take, you know, he'd be the starter the next 4 years.
I don't know if you necessarily predicted it.
Let him finish.
Predict is a gross overstatement. You said it was a possibility.
Did I not? I said that. Bring back the tape. It's record now. And now I'm asking you, since you were both at the game and I watched on TV, was I right? Do we have our guy?
Do I think Dalton Snead will be UNLV's quarterback the next 4 years? No.
I mean, I'd be.
And part of that is simply odds. The odds are against that.
Well, yeah, okay. The odds of him getting hurt or whatever factor in. But, I mean, if Stanton takes another snap when Snead's eligible to play, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, because of injuries, that could very easily come up. But, yeah, I'm not thinking necessarily with Stanton. It's more with Rodgers or whoever comes next.
Yeah, I just think it's so hard to find a guy that in college football that could provide what Snead does and what I told you. The kid's got awareness in the huddle. He's got a little swagger. Yes, he got lucky. A few passes weren't intercepted, but he made some big plays. They won the game, and there's finally some positive energy. Like, we're sitting here now thinking a lot better about the team than we were this time last week.
Just quickly, here's what Snead did that has Ray and many others so fired up. 8 of 16 passing for 129 yards. Most importantly there, no turnovers. He had one touchdown to a wide-open Trosclair on his first career catch. And then on the ground, 15 carries for 147 yards. Most notably, I think came in at number 10 on SportsCenter's top 10 that evening. The 91-yard touchdown turned a possible safety into a spectacular highlight, the longest play from scrimmage in UNLV history.
Take that, Randall Cunningham.
Sure, yeah.
All I got to say is what those numbers don't tell you is that the kid is popular with his teammates, organized the offense, energetic from start to finish. And you can't get that in a box score, and he got the dub, baby.
I actually, for once, don't have a problem with your optimism. Like, look, UNLV has been through so much. It's been such a train wreck for, you know, 30 years or whatever, that I think it's fine to get excited about a quarterback. My problem was that you saying you predicted it. I think if we play back the tapes, like you said, you would say, what if he is Caleb Herring and he turns out to be great, whatever. Okay, one game down, he was very good. I think that I'm not even that skeptical. I think he's the best quarterback on the roster, even though there has to be an even though in there. This was Fresno State, who was awful, who we said from the beginning of the year UNLV should be able to handle easily at home, who you said was the biggest game on the schedule to Tony Sanchez, so he was going to blow them out. And he really, I mean, he made that run, which was great, and I think is a good thing to get everyone excited, but he really didn't have to do that much. I actually, when we were talking yesterday, I think I was a little bit more positive about his passing than you were. I think there was only one bad throw. I think one of them, the defensive back, made a good play.
Yeah, maybe two that defenders got their hands on.
Yeah, I thought one of the ones the defender got the hand on, the Fresno defensive back, made a great play, which was somewhat surprising because Fresno doesn't make many great plays. But I just think
we've got to see
a little bit more. This was such vanilla. I think I touched on this a little bit in my column. I mean, Tony Sanchez and the UNLV coaching staff, I think, knew they're a lot better team than Fresno. They're going to do what they want. That's run the ball at them, pound away. They didn't need to do anything special. I think that's different when you go up against San Diego State. I still think we need to see what Dalton Snead can do throwing the ball when you have to throw the ball a little bit more than 16 times.
Yeah, so the rushing yards average last week going into it, 250 for UNLV against a defense that gave up 260, and they ran for 364. It's a bad rush defense team. It's just a bad team, and so UNLV was able to play to its strengths. San Diego State ranks 14th in the country, giving up 99.3 rushing yards per game. UNLV now up to 9th in the country at 273. Once again, that's going to be one of the most important battles, and UNLV does not have the advantage the way that they did against Fresno State. I get being excited about it. and there's reason to be optimistic about Snead's long-term future. You know, I mentioned that he had been the best quarterback in a lot of practices we saw. It was just a, you know, can he translate that? And you saw some of the potential playmaking ability, obviously the 91-yard touchdown run foremost among them. But until we see it against a real team, I don't know how anyone can think, yes, this is the answer.
Dude, there's like, only two real teams left on the schedule.
But there are better teams and or just on the road. Even like just an at a team like Fresno State. So an at Hawaii. You know, so it's back to back here. At San Diego State, at Hawaii. No one in this room is going to proclaim that Hawaii is a good football team. They're just not.
They did all they needed to do last week, though.
Yeah, I'll step back and let you brag about that one if you want.
Wow, did you see that score?
Hey, let's see what Dalton Snead does in Hawaii before we get
let me ask you this question.
Too happy.
If Snead showed glimpses of being able to be this capable, why was he never even in the conversation to be the man entering the season?
Tony said it was mostly about audibles, ability to check things at the line. So I've told this story a couple times now, but the second scrimmage right before the season started, Dalton Snead was by far the best quarterback we saw. He threw the best ball, made the most plays, ended the scrimmage basically with a really nice touchdown run. And so I asked Tony that, you know, this is a competition between Kurt and Johnny. Where's Dalton at? And he said that there was a sizable gap just in basic knowledge and being able to put together the offense at the line. So whether he's made up that much ground or whether Tony just really wanted it to be one of the juniors, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, cause, I mean, or maybe they dummied down the playbook a little.
Well, they did, but even with that, you know, he was very solid. But they, you know, not a whole lot of passing. He was, what I say, eight of 16. You know, it's just not putting the ball at risk a whole lot because the running game, because they didn't need to.
Yeah.
The running game was so good.
There's just no way, there's no way there's not going to be more of an onus on him this game. That's why I want to say, like, definitely he passed his first test with flying colors.
Johnny
he looked great.
Stanton passed his first
He's
test
exciting.
Test. He did,
no doubt. I mean, I would say, and I mean, Fresno State is better than Jackson State, right?
Yes, I think. I'm pretty – yes.
They are. I mean, Jackson State was awful.
Bottom line, he's gonna have to throw the ball a little bit more in this game. There's just no – you can't convince me otherwise, and I want to see what happens when – if they're close and he has to throw, what happens before I say, you know, this guy has the ability to be the starter for 4 years. I think it's great. I think they may have found a quarterback, but it's still may. It's not this is the guy to me.
Okay. I will say this about this weekend's game, San Diego State. I was shocked that the line was only 14. I thought it would be in the 20s. And I guess that means that somebody smarter than me, the odds makers, think it may be close. And that's encouraging because I watched a little of the San Diego State-South Alabama game, and San Diego State not as good as I thought passing the ball. And South Alabama was able to load up and stop the run. And I really think UNLV is going to be able to run they've ran the ball pretty much on everybody, right, Taylor?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
Okay, so I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I don't know how much Snead is going to have to be prolific throwing it. I mean, yeah, you're going to have the threat of it. But when you consider
– So UNLV has been able to run the ball on teams this year, yes. But San Diego State's rush defense is the best that they've seen.
Yeah, it will be. I'm just saying that the odds makers think that this is going to be a close game.
Is two touchdowns close?
I mean, there's like...
Closer than three? That's
but, okay, how many college football games are there a week? I really don't know off the top of my head. Like, nah, not that many, probably. Or, I mean, between FBS opponents, probably like 60?
Sure.
Yeah, because there's like 128. I mean, usually there's like, what, two or three upsets that big a week? So that's still not... I mean, it's not saying this is a coin flip by any means. And I don't feel like, what was the split the last game? They ran the ball 54 times. They threw the ball 16 times. You are not beating San Diego State with that split. It's just, there's no way, you cannot convince me of that.
Yeah, there's probably also just going to be a lot fewer total plays because San Diego State also is such a prolific rushing team. You know, they want to get Pumphrey going that the clock may just be eaten up with a lot of long drives. Quickly here, Donnell Pumphrey local kid. His current numbers leads FBS with 750 yards rushing. That's in, you know, second right now is Jamal Williams for BYU, and everybody 2 through 5 has had 5 games, and he's got a 47-yard lead on second place. 187 yards per game, eight rushing touchdowns, and his all-purpose yards are at about 206 a game. Trails only Christian McCaffrey from Stanford. We've done it before, but you guys watch this kid here locally in high school. You know about, you know, why he wasn't at UNLV and just how his career has gone. I'll just cede the floor. You know, what has made him so good, and, you know, what do you think he's going to be able to do this weekend?
I mean, I've always been in awe of Donnell Pumphrey. I think he's one of the best high school players I've ever seen. I mean, he has a lot of natural ability, obviously. He's so quick. I think he has great field vision. He just kind of has everything you would look for in a running back, except maybe he doesn't have the prototypical size, but that could have even ended up helping him, because I feel like he's really played with he has something to prove. He feels like he's been a little overlooked because of that, and I think that it's helped him, I mean, get better and better through his college career. We talked about this last week, how much better he's been this year. And I think he's just the guy that has, you know, that whole package of everything you want naturally, and he's worked hard to get up to even another level.
I just think he's got that first step that other people don't have. For me, he's always had that acceleration, and it was tough to when you go back on our high school show, there was another running back in town around the same time who I also thought was good. It's tough when you're playing high school competition when the hole is open for so long to see how a guy will project over to the next level, because you're getting through it so quick regardless.
I feel like Pumphrey was different than that, though. As if you remember, we talked about this on our high school show all the time. His offensive line was not good in high school. I mean, it'd be like he'd have to juke one guy in the backfield, spin away from another, break a tackle, and he still averaged like 10 yards per carry.
That training has served him well, though.
Yeah, exactly. I will say the one thing I hate about this game, for UNLV's sake, is that San Diego State lost last week, because I feel like that's just one thing that's going to absolutely ensure that they're going to be extremely focused. You know they're going to have a good week of practice. It's really hard. You come off an 18-point loss in a game where you were a 21-point favorite, not to feel like they're going to come in close to their peak this week, I would think.
Wow, I did not see that the final ended up being that bad.
Well,
like, we were watching that game in the press box a little bit, and I saw, like, I turned it off at the stage when it was clear they were going to lose. I did not see that it ended up getting 42-24. So now back-to-back losses to South Alabama last year at home, this year on the road. Yeah, you got to figure San Diego State's going to come in very focused. It's their league opener. They've won 11 straight in league play, and certainly for, you know, there are Vegas ties throughout the league, but I don't think any stronger, particularly with, you know, UNLV, two former head coaches on the staff, a former player and a former local high school coach in Hunky Cooper on the staff, a few locals on the roster, including Pumphrey. So this is one where they're going to give their, you know, absolute full attention, even though, you know, UNLV, a team that I'm guessing walking around the Aztecs feel very comfortable and confident that they're, you know, going to be able to beat them.
Randy Ricks, too, local, has been really good for them, I believe, starting linebacker from Legacy. Okay. I think maybe a defensive end. Legacy, maybe they moved him there. But I know he's one of their leading tacklers last year and was at least had a couple good games at the beginning of the year this year.
There's a ton of Vegas kids on that team, 5 Vegas kids on San Diego State.
Sounds bitter.
No, I mean, it's tough to get kids to stay at home when you don't offer them scholarships.
Well, yeah, especially with that last part. That's one of many
those
things.
Those were all before Sanchez.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of many things that when we talk about the new facility for Tito Football Complex, what that can do for recruiting, you know, first and foremost, and keeping any kid that you want locally, you know, outside of, you know, the few that are going to the Alabamas of the world, this certainly brings you closer to that level. I don't know, what do you guys feel like? I feel like Ray's very optimistic about this game. UNLV has not done well at Qualcomm.
Let me correct you. First place UNLV. Go ahead, finish it up.
Well, we could also
third
say...
first place?
Yeah, so is Hawaii.
What place is San Diego State in? That's what I'm
second.
Talking about, not in first.
Technically like a tie for fourth or something like that. Well, no, nothing. They're in the middle. Yeah,
and that's the beauty with league play is that, you know, it's a second season. You could reset, and UNLV technically right now is 1-0, and they have confidence, and they're going down to San Diego State to win a game that they think they could compete in.
Yeah, I'm trying to see it. I don't know.
I think there's reason for optimism for sure. I don't know. I don't have anything to hate on you. I guess
here's game where San Diego State just
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. You know, I wasn't high on San Diego State coming into the season. Relatively, I mean, I was higher on them than UNLV. But then I just had accepted that I was wrong. But now you look back and yeah, the Cal game was pretty impressive of a win. But that really ended up being a very close game. That if Cal gets a stop, they could have scored easily. Northern Illinois is an absolute train wreck. I didn't see them falling off this badly. And then other than that, they played New Hampshire, who I have no idea is probably a poor FCS program.
They're usually pretty good at that level. I don't know if they're having a great year.
And then the South Alabama loss. So, I mean, I still think San Diego State's the clear favorite, but I would not be surprised if UNLV is in this game. I'm not going to pick them to win outright or anything, but I could see it being competitive.
Yeah, Ray mentioned the game last year. That was a 52-14 victory at Sam Boyd Stadium for the Aztecs, and UNLV has not won at Qualcomm since 2000. Usually when they lose to San Diego State, it is by a lot, and I think that is most likely what's going to happen here again. But I like the unknown and the optimistic ability of having, you know, Dalton Snead one game under the belt, looked pretty solid. There's things that you can build on. I like having that heading into this game. Now, Darren Woods Jr. is out for the rest of the year. That's another receiver down. They are down three scholarship receivers, and even one of the possible solutions for that is Tim Holt at tight end, moving him out a little more, and he's day-to-day with an injury. So the position group that seemed to be the greatest strength heading into the year has been hit the hardest by those injuries. Currently only three scholarship guys in the rotation: Devontae Boyd, Makai Stevenson, and Elijah Trosclair. So that's going to be potentially a problem when you talk about a great run offense going up against a great run defense. You're going to have to keep them honest at certain points and take your shots. And, you know, how much time has Dalton Snead spent throwing the ball to Elijah Trosclair? I don't know, but it's probably not a whole lot. And the timing of everything.
I mean, maybe because they were on the scout team together.
Except that Snead's been the backup all year, and Trosclair was on the scout team because he was planning to redshirt. So he's been getting most of his balls from Rodgers. Yeah. Okay. But you're right, like there's some mix there, that was something I thought with Darren Woods could be an advantage because they were both redshirting last year, but Woods is out, Trosclair is a true freshman, same thing with Stevenson. So yeah, you know, it's just kind of hope that it goes well. You have to take a few shots. And San Diego State's going to do the same thing against a UNLV defense that was certainly better than they had been the previous 2 weeks with the deep ball, but consider the competition as well. I'm not saying that Idaho is anything amazing, but they sure looked more willing to throw deep shots than Fresno State was, in part because Fresno State was down early, and that's where the no turnovers become such a big thing. UNLV didn't dig itself a hole, and so what did it do? It put away a bad team. You know, that's where they're going to get their wins the rest of the way, is by doing that. This one, I think you're just trying to make it look as good as possible.
God, I hope they win so I can hear Brewer next week guaranteeing a Mountain West championship.
Where is the Mountain West championship game?
It's at the
team with the best record, right?
The best record.
So we'd be at Boise for that game, then, or at Air Force. I think Air Force might beat Boise. Air Force is good. I watched them play Navy.
Is Navy any good, though?
I mean, they're always good.
They have the fewest returning starters of any team in the nation, Navy.
They threw the ball 30 times on Saturday.
Yeah. Jameer Tillman is their only returning starter, another local kid on offense.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that that game. Just saw the final score, 28-14 for the undefeated Air Force Falcons. Outside of a Nevada victory, is this, like, the biggest one for you? That would make you most excited, Ray?
Who's Nevada? Oh, you mean the team up north. Okay, yeah. No, I mean, I just think that anytime you could win on the road against the defending league champions, That's significant.
It would be, yeah. I mean, this would be a huge win. I just don't think that it's
I mean, especially because, you know, Pumphrey's been getting so much national attention that and San Diego State was ranked until they lost.
Yeah, they were up to number 19.
That, you know, I think that cameras will be rolling on this game, so, if you will.
I can't wait to see last time UNLV, two-touchdown underdog, Ray Brewer picked them outright. You're going to have to check the blog on Saturday, but I think there's at least a possibility we get it again.
He better. I want to see it. Game 7:32 kickoff at Qualcomm Stadium. ESPNU is where you can watch that. It could be very entertaining. Look, if UNLV takes us into the fourth quarter, that's going to be awesome because they just have not done well at Qualcomm on the road in general in recent years, and so that would be a victory in itself. And then, you know, you got to be close near the end to have any chance to win at the end, and especially with a, you know, run heavy game from both sides, you got to think that there's not going to be much of a chance if you fall down early of coming back. So going to be very interesting to see what UNLV has here in the second start for Dalton Sneed's career. Ray's pumped up, Case is intrigued, I'm intrigued. Let's see what the future holds for Case, for Ray. I am Taylor, and we'll talk to you guys next week.